But it's true. I got a little warm. Doug said he wasn't sure what the temperature was going to do, so I dressed in the middle, which is about the worst thing you can probably do. So anyway, it's great to be here. And I am working, right? Okay. We're in Numbers. Now, I don't want to chill all you ladies down, so if it gets chilly, you let me know, okay? I mean, just flat go shut the door or something. I won't fight you. That's it. I got a wife with low blood pressure, and when it gets below 72, she says, get me out of this winter weather. So, that's all right. I should have dressed accordingly, so. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we, each one of us, are the disciples that you love. That's what happened first. You loved us, and we want to walk in that this year. And I just want to pray for everyone here that each one of us would walk in the love of God this year, that we would receive, enjoy, embrace, and give away the love of God, that the love of God that never fails would conquer every obstacle, overcome every problem, and be with us in the midst of every temptation and failure or sense of failure this coming year. That we would be ruled by the love of God. In Christ Jesus we ask. Amen. All right. So I'm going to read in Numbers 13. We're talking about Joshua and Caleb. And they went to spy out the promised land, which was really a statement of unbelief, wasn't it? When you think that Moses sent the children of Israel ahead to find out if what God said was true, is it a good land? None of us get to look and go and check out tomorrow, do we? Because it's a walk of faith every day. We get to walk in faith every day. So Jesus said the evil for each day is sufficient of itself. So why should I be worried about tomorrow? So the whole concept of them saying, well, let's find out if what God said is true, we're going to try and go ahead, was a disaster anyway. So they're not exactly in the best frame of mind to begin with. And so here we find that they came back in verse 27, Numbers 13, 27. And they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us, and it truly flows with milk and honey. And this is its fruit. Of course, they had a bunch of grapes two men had to carry. Nevertheless, the people who dwell on the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell on the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell on the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. And Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and he said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against this people, for they're stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw were of men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, who came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried out, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to him, oh, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not have been better for us to return to Egypt? So I want to talk to you this morning about forward vision. The children of Israel lost their forward vision because they encountered something they didn't anticipate. I think that happens to each of us every day. Something will come up in just about every day you live that you don't anticipate. And if you're not careful, you'll lose your faith in God by saying, oh, another problem, where's God? And you'll get an attitude that's really not good. And if you lose your ability to look forward and to keep your face forward, because we are only programmed to go forward, everything else is disastrous. There is no shield for your hiney. Right? No shield for your hiney. So you are programmed to go forward. Caleb and Joshua were the only two that didn't lose their forward vision. Moses lost it because the people made him angry, and he called them a bunch of rebels, and then he didn't get in the promised land. But these two did because they believed, and I sang about it in a song, they had found the secret of eternal youth, that the biggest and the best is yet to come. That even death is just a veil that gets pulled back, and eternity and the plan of God for my life. He said, I will rule cities. You will rule cities. So death, even as we look at death, it's just a veil that's pulled back, and the plan and the eternity and the future rolls on. It keeps going. I cannot afford to get distracted and look to the left or look to the right. If you look to the left and the right, now, the way you look left and right is you lose where you're headed. And when you look left and right, if you do it fast enough, you'll go around in circles. And that's where most Christians are living today. Left and right. Well, this doesn't look like it's working going straight ahead. So I'm looking here, and I'm looking there, and I'm looking here, and I'm looking to the world, and I'm looking to somebody else's counsel, and I'm looking here, and I'm looking. And they just sit there and go round and round and round and round in circles. It's fatal. Can't afford to lose my forward vision. You always look back before you go back. You see, I ride motorcycles, and one thing I learned real fast when I was a young rider, and I had to read some books on it, but there's a thing on motorcycling called a target fixation. And what happens is you're coming into a corner, and there's a dead possum in the middle of the road, and if you watch the possum, you'll hit it. You have to keep your eyes as far down the road as you possibly can on a motorcycle, because whatever you focus on, where you look is where you go. And I reckon Christianity is a balancing act, pretty much like riding a motorcycle. Wherever you look is where you're going to go. And it's absolutely disastrous to get target fixation on some dead skunk in the middle of the road that isn't really going to change your life anyway if you can just get around it. Hello? But oh, we get some stinky thing come up, you know, and we look at it and we go, oh my, that smells. That really looks like it could take me out, you know. And we're just focused and focused. That there's, boy, that stinks, you know. Next thing, man, we're having a wreck. We're having a wreck because we wouldn't keep our vision past the problem. And that's what's so fatal. You know, the thing that blows my mind is the children of Israel always thought going back to Egypt was an option. They kept the back door open. Do you know how many people today that have been Christians for even a long time are actually looking back at Egypt like the world has something to offer? We've made the same mistake. We think, well, if Jesus, I'll follow Jesus, but if it looks like it's getting too much for me, I'm keeping the back door open. I'll always have that option. That is not an option. You'll die back there. You'll die before you get there. The manna stops day one. The water stops day two. And you've got a long way to go. I don't know if I've shared this with you, but when I got saved, there was a guy in New Orleans preaching on the radio that the baptism of the Spirit was for the apostles. It was all gone. And tongues was of the devil. And he was just really going against the gifts on the radio in public. And a guy I knew went to his church. And so he came to me and said, do you believe in the gifts? I said, yeah, I believe in the gifts. He said, do you speak in tongues? I said, yeah, I do, actually. He said, it's of the devil. I said, you know, I think you need to find something else to get on a horse about, you know. You need to find another soapbox. Why don't you get on to the resurrection or virgin birth, just get off that, because what you're going to do is grieve the Spirit of God. You're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. And so he wouldn't, and I didn't see him for 25 years. And he walked into a church service I was doing in New Orleans, and he was tattooed from head to foot. I didn't recognize him. And he came up to me and he said, do you remember me? I said, no, I don't. And he introduced himself. It took me all my time to keep my chin in my face. I just couldn't believe it. He said, I came today, Andrew, because I wanted to tell you, if you're ever tempted to go back, there's nothing there but death. He said, I have been in every satanic church in New Orleans. I've been in sacrifices. I've eaten food sacrificed to idols. He said, I've partaken in ceremonies I can't even talk to you about. And he said, and I have been in every homosexual church in the city. And he said, I want you to know something. I'm 7 times worse off than I ever was before Jesus got a hold of my life. And he said, and I can't find God. I talked with him for 20 minutes. I didn't like what I felt. He committed suicide the next morning. And yet we have the audacity to think somehow we're just going to go along, and when it looks like there's a fortified city or something that's too big for us. See, the children of Israel thought all their problems were in the wilderness when they were dealing with their obnoxious selves. But after we've dealt with our obnoxious selves, we have to go forward and actually accomplish something in God for him and future generations. And their mentality, I believe, was, we've had the tough part of our Christianity. Now we're going to have it easy. And we're going to cross this Jordan, and angels are going to just blow our enemies away and obliterate them, and it's going to be a piece of cake. It's not going to happen. That's la-la land. That's Hollywood. They crossed the Jordan, and the first they're looking at this city. Was God sufficient? Yeah. And you know what? I've said this before. Fear is believing that something you cannot see will happen. And faith is exactly the same. Faith is believing something you cannot see will happen. And you got a choice. You can let fear turn you from the vision of God in your life and the purpose of God for your life and get you wandering back and forth, left and right, left and right. But the end result is you'll want to go back. You say, this is too scary. Or you can say, you know what? These enemies are nothing. Caleb and Joshua actually said, they're bread for me. Bread. My enemies will be sustenance for me. That's an interesting take, isn't it? I'm actually going to devour them, and I will get sustained by consuming them. Hello. And yet we run around and say, oh, Lord, don't let them consume me. We got to keep our vision. So I'm just admonishing you this morning, as you start this year, it's rooted and grounded in the fact that you are a disciple who Jesus loves. But that's not what it's all about, laying around the Last Supper table going, I'm the disciple Jesus loves. Here comes the baptism of the Holy Ghost and all hell lets loose. Hello? Everything starts coming against them. But you know what? They understood. I'm a disciple who Jesus loves, and he will empower me the same way he did Joshua and Caleb. If I will keep a forward vision, he will make sure it happens. And did they lose anything? No. Not at all. And so it's... let me quote Jesus. John 12:35. This is a great admonition. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. That means I got to keep moving forward, doesn't it? Does that mean it's an option? No, because I've been delivered out of darkness, and I'm like Elisha running ahead of Ahab's chariot. But Ahab's chariot's hot on my heels. That's the kingdoms of this world, the demonic powers of this world. And that's why I see a lot of young Christians in families, they grow up in church, they kind of take church things for granted, but they have had some kind of an experience with God, and then they get out in the world, and they stop staying ahead of the darkness, and it's a principle here. The darkness overtakes them. And you know why I don't want to stop following the Lord and seeking God? Because there's a bunch of junk back there. It's just keeping steady pace at a good distance. And I better keep walking. I have a lot of incentive to keep walking so that all that junk back there and 7 times worse off doesn't catch up with me. Hello? So that's a little scary, but that's the facts. That's how it goes. And so I admonish you today. I don't know what's distracting you. I don't know what's got you left and right. I don't know if it's the economy or the problems, relationships, whatever. Find your vision in God. Find your purpose in God. Get back to the promises of God that He made you. Get back to the Word of God. And say, you know what? He's got a plan for me. There's a purpose to fulfill. If you're feeling old and like it's not going the way it should, don't be like Solomon. Here's Solomon. God revealed Himself in person to him twice in his life and said, hello, ask anything you want. In person, ask me anything you want. That's amazing, isn't it? And yet in his latter years, when he could see the checkered flag at the end, I mean, a young man, if he gives into his lust, that's bad. But you'd think he can't see the checkered flag. But here's an old geezer. This old geezer, he's looking at the end. He can see the checkered flag, and he blows it. Duh. Because he stopped walking in the light, decided he was going to serve two gods. So he would go to the temple of Baal in the morning, and he'd go worship the temple of God, Baal in the morning, and then go to the evening sacrifice in the house of the Lord in the evening. Tried to serve two masters. And you know what Solomon ended up? Just a dirty old man. Just a sensual old man with 1,000 women in his life. After he had seen God in person twice. That can happen to us, people. And that's one thing we really need to watch out for, because the darkness of this world is trying to overtake the church. And I'm afraid in some cases, I think it has. I really do. We've got a lot of evidence that, and as we look at the young people coming up, a lot of them are going out in the world. In New York this summer, I was horrified. Homosexuality is rampant in the church in New York. Rampant. People are coming out of the closet left, right, and center. Young people, college age, because they've gone to a secular college and they've got all the baggage. And it's rife up there. It's unbelievable. So you know what they've done now? They've created a doctrine that says that hell's not eternal. That's how they're going to get. Because if you won't repent, you've got to change God. You're going to make Him look bad to where you can come up with something that says, this is make everybody happy. And that's what we're doing. So we're in an interesting time. I just want to admonish you, don't miss the checkered flag, friend. By 100 yards? God forbid. Right? Amen. So anyway, so one thing Caleb learned was, you don't let other people hinder you. I'll say that again. You don't let other people hinder you. 2 million people looked him in the face and said, you're wrong. And he stood up and said, I'm sorry, I've got a vision. I'm right. We need to go and take this land, and we can do it now. Wow. Let me see here. And so Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. What was the admonition? Don't look back. That's what the angel said, don't look back. I think that's easy. But you know, it was easy for Eve too. Don't touch the tree. Don't eat of the tree. It wasn't that complicated, and yet they did it, didn't they? Amen. So anyway, amen. Anyway, I got notes, but I think I've said what I need to say. So let's bow our heads, and we'll have a time of prayer. I just sense to encourage you today that God loves you. I don't know what you might need to do between you and God today to make things right or to get to a place of peace, or there's some junk you want to give Him, or somebody else's junk they gave you that you want to give Him. But I really believe God wants a lot of people here and all of us to start clean today. Just to start clean with the understanding that I am a disciple. And if you're not a disciple, you can become one if you ask Jesus into your life today and ask Him to forgive you. You can become a follower of Jesus. But I am a disciple, and I am a disciple who Jesus loves. Amen? Father, thank You for Your people. We thank You that this year for this church will be a year of vision. It will be a year of vision fulfilled, and it will be a year of fresh vision. I thank You, Lord, that You're going to give each one of us in this room a vision that pertains to this region of the country and will be effective in God at doing something significant for the kingdom. And it may not all be fulfilled this year, but the vision will be there. We thank you for the vision that you gave Doug and Kathy and the leaders of the church here, that they're waiting on you. They believe there's a timing where you will do something significant to make them more accessible to a lot of people and make opportunities for them. We thank you for that. We thank you for each one of them in Jesus' name. But Lord, help us to be a people who have very singly focused on taking ground and going ahead in Jesus' name. Yeah, we thank you for it. Amen. So if anybody wants prayer, please come. Just find a place to stand and we will pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'll be right there. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, you said no weapon formed against us will prosper. And the archers, they fire a lot of arrows at us all, but at my brother too. And Lord, I just ask you that he'll remember, that he'll bring to remembrance that no weapon formed against him can prosper. He can get nailed by one of those arrows, pull it out of his chest, and carry on. Even if he gets nailed by it, even if his shield doesn't work and his armor doesn't protect him in that moment, I thank you that no weapon formed against him will prosper. He doesn't have to be infected by all kinds of garbage just because he got hit. We thank you for healing him in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Thank you for your blessing and your favor. God, you're the Redeemer. I praise you for what you've done, for what you're doing, and for what you will yet do. I thank you for vision for Christine. I thank you, Lord, for vision for the baby. That, Lord, as he grows up, he'll sense you. He'll sense your presence. He'll sense a voice saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." That he'll discern good and evil at a young age and always choose that which is right in the sight of the Lord. That he'd be a man of God and be a joy to his mom. A joy and a delight to his mom. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Just one word. You're not forgotten. Okay? He is not forgotten. He's the God who doesn't forget. He remembers. Amen? So, you're in that too. You're blessed. Amen? Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. We all love to go to battle and win, and you've got lots of battles you've won, but there are some battles we get in the middle of it and we go, "Oh, man, I haven't learned how to sort this out yet." We got arrows and swords and rocks and catapults and all kinds of stuff coming at us, and I just sense that God leaves you in the middle of that sometimes because you're having to learn what that is, where it's coming from, what it's called, and how it affects you. Okay? And when we don't get it, he puts us straight back in the battle, doesn't he? So you're in a learning process, and Lord, he just wants to learn. He wants to not panic or freak out. He wants to learn. He wants to look at the battle and have your eyes. And that's what I'm praying for him, is that he'll have your eyes and see the way it really is in Jesus' name. And we thank you for him. We praise you for him. Thank you, Father. Lord, keep him from target fixation. Keep him from focusing on things that would make him look in the here and now rather than down the road. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Lord, they have vision. It's just taken time to have it fulfilled. They've got things they've prayed for and vision that you gave them, that they believed you for great things. but it's not been time yet. Time is near, though. The time is near. And don't grow weary in the last 100 yards. Be strong in believing. Be strong in believing. I was reading where the prophet told the king, he said, shoot some arrows. And he said to him, bang them on the ground, and he only banged them 3 times. And he said, you should have banged it a lot more. And there's that bang, knocking on heaven's door kind of thing of banging on the door. And sometimes we bang 3 times and quit. Amen? Keep banging. Aggressively. Tenaciously. Amen? Father, bless them. Thank you for the doors opening. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we do believe, and they believe, the best and the biggest is yet to come. That the seeds they plant in grandchildren, the seeds they plant in great-grandchildren, will actually be the most fruitful and productive seeds they've ever planted in their lives. And in some cases, they will see it, but in others, they won't, because they've planted in faith and they are planting in faith, and there will be a tremendous harvest. If Jesus tarries long after you're gone, there is some tremendously good seed you have planted and will yet plant. You've still got seed in your bag, and it's good seed. You keep planting, and God is going to cause it to prosper mightily in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that their seed will not be stolen by the birds of the air. Their seed will not be shallow and choked, but it will bear fruit 160 and 30-fold in so many different ways in Jesus' name. Thank you for good seed. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, sometimes we're not sure what to look forward to. The promise seems to waver a bit, or we get 10 different promises and we're not sure which one to focus on. I believe the word of the Lord for you is that He is the future. And when you're not sure what to ask for, place Jesus right before your eyes, looking at you, loving you. And He is the reward. He is your exceeding great reward. And He'll take care of all the peripheral stuff, the promises and how it works out. But there's a time in battle you got to put Jesus in the middle of that equation and get back to keeping it simple. Amen? Lord, I thank you that she'll see Jesus in the middle of the battle, like the 3 Hebrew children did in the midst of the fire. Thank you for your fellowship when things get hot, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you said, let your word be established in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. And this is just the 3rd witness this morning that God loves you. He's already told you that twice in the service. He loves you. He's crazy about you. He died for you. He rose for you. And what He wants you to go home with today, it says that He died for our sins, but He rose, and by His life we live. By His life we live. And that means you get plugged in like an umbilical cord to the life that He now lives, seated at the right hand of the Father. And by His life, you're going to live. Amen? It's not you trying to make it happen. It's that life of God. Amen? Keep your belly full of the life of God. Amen. May you be blessed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, there were days she said, like Caleb, we are well able to go up and do this. And Lord, she set out with everything that was in her. And thank you for the victories she did have. But some days it just doesn't work. And there are areas where timing is a factor. So I would say every day, charge at those things that didn't work. Like today's the day of victory. Those areas you prayed for and the breakthroughs you wanted that didn't come to pass. Go at those like a bull with horns. And say, God, I know that you promised me that. And every day I'm going to believe you and take ground forward. And I'm not going to get discouraged. in Jesus' name. That word is not in your vocabulary. Discouraged is not to be in your vocabulary. Amen? We thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the grace that you have given us in Christ, Father. Thank you for the grace that is in Christ Jesus, this undeserved favor, this ability to do the will of God, the empowerment to think as God thought, to see as God sees. I just thank you for the anointing that's in her. And this anointing will break every yoke of wood, hay, and stubble, every yoke of bondage and oppression will be broken in the name of Jesus. It will not prosper. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The key there is we just got to keep coming. There isn't anywhere else to go. And many times you feel very isolated, and it's like people, it would be nice to have some people around to carry that burden with you, to help, but they don't understand like he does. And the key for you is, come unto me. That's what he said, come unto me. And you just got to keep going to him. And as you go to him, I see things that have been like a solid block melting like butter in his presence. Things that have resisted the heat of God and the workings of God, melting like butter, because you have come unto him. Amen? And you've cast your care on him, casting your burden on him. He'll give you rest. Father, you bless her with rest in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Once again, our times, we have to keep placing them in your hands. And sometimes we grab them back and say, I think I know what I'm doing. But today is a day where she says, Lord, my times are in your hands, and they're going to stay there, and you're going to work out some things very well for her this year. Doors will open, that she will prosper, be in health, be strengthened, see mountains move. There's a list of good things that God has set before you this year. Will there be a struggle? There always is. There always is, but you will prevail. You will win. You will not grow weary in battle as you have before in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. Bless her. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the scripture, it says that we, to God, are as the apple of his eye. That you are the apple of his eye. Now, when you have something that's the apple of your eye, it's something very, very appealing, very treasured, very special, right? When you have a child that's the apple of your eye, so to speak, it's whoa, you know, and God wants you to get a deeper picture on that's how he looks at you. Amen. He loves you. He values you. You are valuable to him. Okay? I think a lot of times, and I'll speak for myself, a lot of times I feel like, yeah, I'm an apple, but I got worms in the apple. The sucker's overripe, or it's just not going to taste any good, or something's gone mushy, right? No, it's not true. When he looks at you, he sees a crisp, full of color, fully developed, amen, fruitfulness. Father, you bless her in Jesus' holy name. We thank you for it. Amen. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. And so we're back to Paul. Paul said, when I am weak, then I'm strong. And you know what weakness is about. And you find yourself weak many, many, many times. And it's out of our emptiness that God fills us. And you've got to keep coming to God saying, I'm weak and I'm empty. And you'd almost think he gets sick of hearing it, but he doesn't. All it is an honest admission. I'm weak and I'm empty. And then he is going to make himself strong and he is going to fill you in Jesus' name. Other springs or other fountains that used to fulfill you a little bit or give you some kind of reprieve, it's not going to work. They used to make you happy for a moment, but they're not working. They're not. We lose the desire for other things in the end, and we go, that doesn't do it for me anymore. And it's His plan, and He's working it out. That in your weakness, He would make you strong, and in your emptiness, He would make you full. And that's what's going to happen this year. You're going to get empty and go to Him and get full. You're going to feel your weakness and go to Him, and He's going to make you strong. You're going to know your Father like you've never known Him before in a wonderful way. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank You for a good year for this man. In Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Hi. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Paul said that in Ephesus, or I think it was Ephesus, he said, we had a lot of trouble in Asia to the point where we almost despaired because we didn't know what to do. But what happened was it was so that we would not trust in ourselves, but we would trust in Him. When we come to a place of insufficiency, it's always so we can trust in His sufficiency. When I feel insufficient, I feel I don't have the goods, I don't have the wisdom, God always brings us to the place of dependence, and we hate it. Who enjoys admitting, I got need? Especially when we've been raised strong and we've been raised to do it ourselves and we're quite good at doing it ourselves and we usually just get the bull by the horns and make life happen and we almost look at other people and say, get a life. But then God gets a hold of us and He brings us to a place where we go, yikes, I can't do it. Amen. I want to pray for him. So, Father, I thank You for her, that her sufficiency is not of herself, but it is of God. And there's a lot of things been removed and challenged so that her trust and confidence, as Paul said, would be in God, be in the living God, is what Paul said. And help her to not despair in any way, in Jesus' name. Amen. You be blessed. Father, thank You for this child. Let the anointing of God be in this child. Let this child's belly be full of God, and out of it bubble rivers of living water in Jesus' name. Yeah, we pray that, Lord, that You would deposit on the inside what we cannot, and You would supernaturally move in this child's life in Jesus' name, starting now, and we thank You for it, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We love You. Hope you wrote these things down. You might need them tomorrow morning. You know, I really like it when God encourages me, but it usually gets tested real fast. Have you noticed that? You know, sometimes He comes and beats me up, and the next day I feel great, and I'm happy. There's a grace there that's lifted me up. But other times I'll get some real encouragement, and the devil goes straight after it as fast as he can, and I refuse to lose it. It's a choice, right? I'm just not losing it. I got a hold of it. He's got a hold of me. Nothing can move us. Father, thank You for Your people. Thank You for Your presence here. Thank You for what You've deposited, Lord. Let it be as gold and silver and precious stones in our lives. And we thank You for working all things together for good because we've chosen to love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.